But we do come to the subject at hand. Today is Mother's Day, and so we're going to be looking at the blessings of a godly mother. Abraham Lincoln said, "No man is poor who has a godly mother." And there's a couple things we're going to look at today. One is, a godly mother is a living testament. We have the Old Testament, we have the New Testament, and then we have today. A lot of times we read the Bible, those of you guys who are in the reading program, you read the Bible, and we think, wow, what, how cool would it have been to live in David's time and see God work and do all these things through David. Or to be back in Moses' time and to see the wonderful thing where he led the children of Israel through the wilderness. Or maybe we'd like to go back to the flood and see Noah and how that all happened over the 500 years before he got the call to build an ark. We read these stories and we kind of wonder about a lot of details. A lot of videos have been made to try to recreate what it might have been like, and most of the time they fail greatly. But your mother, you don't have to wonder about her. She is a living testament to God's grace, to God's mercy, to God's working in our lives today. She does a couple of things. One, she demonstrates God's love. 1 John 4:12 through 16 says, a teacher, before I read that, I want to say this. A teacher asked a boy this question. Suppose your mother baked a pie and there were 7 of you, your parents and 5 children. What part of the pie would you get? A 6th, replied the boy. Well, I'm afraid you don't know your fractions, said the teacher. Remember, there are 7 of you. Yes, teacher, said the boy, but you don't know my mother. Mother would say she didn't want any pie. And mothers are always giving, and they're always giving for their children, for their family. We definitely don't appreciate them enough. But we see in 1 John, it says, no one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love has been perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us his Spirit. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent the Son as Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him. Now, we can see many examples of that in Scripture. But the most meaningful example that we've probably all experienced, for those of you who have a godly mother, would be your mother. She is a living testament of God's love. Years ago, there was a young mother who was making her way across the hills of South Wales, carrying her tiny baby in her arms. She was overtaken by a blinding blizzard, and she never reached her destination. And when the blizzard had subsided, her body was found by the searchers beneath a mound of snow. Then they discovered that before her death, she had taken off all of her outer clothing and wrapped it about her baby. And when they unwrapped the child, to their great surprise, the joy they found, he was alive and well. She had mounded her body over his and given her life for her child, proving the depths of her motherly love. Years later, that child, David Lloyd George, grown to manhood, became Prime Minister of Great Britain and, without a doubt, one of England's greatest statesmen. A mother's love is so profound. And for a godly mother, we can see God's love through our mothers. So we see that a mother is a living testament to God's love. And in the same way, she is also a modern day saint. Now, some of you mothers might be thinking, oh, Pastor, be careful. But she is. I'm not talking about one of perfection, but she is a modern-day saint to us. She is an example of faith. In 2 Timothy 1:5, Paul said to Timothy, "When I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Louise and your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded is in you also." Our mothers, those who are godly, are an example to us of faith. There's a Spanish proverb that says, "An ounce of mother is worth a ton of priest." Because the mother lives out what the preacher says on Sunday morning. And we see that in her. We see it modeled. Robert Ingersoll, the notorious skeptic, was in his heyday. Two college students went to hear him lecture. As they walked down the street after the lecture, one said to the other, "Well, I guess he knocked the props right out from under Christianity, didn't he?" And the other said, "No, I don't think he did." Ingersoll did not explain my mother's life. And until he can explain my mother's life, I will stand by my mother's God. A mother is a profound example of faith. Proverbs 31. See, God knew that one day there would be a Mother's Day, and so he wrote Proverbs 31. Proverbs 31 is a wonderful example of a godly mother. "Who can find a virtuous wife? For her worth is far above rubies. The heart of her husband safely trusts her, so he will have no lack of grain. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeks wool and flax and willingly works her with her hands. She is like the merchant ships. She brings her food from afar. She also rises while it is yet night and provides food for her household and a portion for her maidservants. She considers a field and buys it. From her profits she plants a vineyard. She girds herself with strength and strengthens her arms. She perceives that her merchandise is good and her lamp does not go out by night. She stretches out her hands to the distaff and her hand holds the spindle. She extends her hand to the poor. She reaches out her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of snow for her household is clothed with scarlet." There's a little boy in a Sunday play. He got up on the stage and he forgot his lines. His mother was in the front row, prompting him, encouraging him. She gestured and formed the words with her lips, but it did not help. Her son's memory was gone. He had no idea what to say. So finally she leaned forward and whispered the cue, "I am the light of the world." The child beamed and with a great feeling and a loud, clear voice said, "My mother is the light of the world." Mothers are a wonderful example of God's love and an example of faith in God. But you might be saying, "Pastor, you might be raising the bar a little too high. I am not a perfect woman." But that's what makes it a perfect example. Because we are not perfect people either. Your children are not perfect. And a mother demonstrates something that is so powerful in the example of forgiveness. 1 John 1:8-9, it says, "If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." I can remember growing up and watching my mom read her Bible. I can remember growing up and knowing that my mom is spending time in prayer, because sometimes I would open up her Bible, I would look at her prayer journal, and I would read in there what she was praying about. "Dear God, help me to support my husband. Help me to love my children more." On and on and on. She would confess sins. And I knew that she was living the life. It's Thursday night, we go to our home Bible study. This last Thursday night, one of the kids asked something I never had to ask my parents. Do you really believe it? That wasn't her question. Her question was this: are you walking in God? Are you walking after God? That was what she asked, because that's what we were talking about, walking after God. And she said, are you doing it? She wanted to know, is your faith real? What you're selling me, are you doing it? You know, it's kind of like you ask the salesman, do you own this vacuum cleaner? No, I'm not buying it either. Is your faith real? Many of us grew up with godly mothers, and they demonstrated that their faith was real. They made mistakes, and we saw them ask for forgiveness. They demonstrated us how to go through that process. When we were down in Texas, we went to a church. It's actually called Memorial Baptist Church, Kylene, Texas. The pastor there is an intern pastor from Dallas Theological Seminary. He actually was teaching many of the things that we're going through in our Bible study on Thursday night. Same curriculum that we're using, he was preaching from. But one thing he added at the end that is not in the curriculum that I saw was this concept of spiritual breathing. And I was a little bit concerned when I heard that phrase. What kind of New Age nonsense are we going to get from this guy? But spiritual breathing, as he was talking about, was just this idea of continually confessing our sins and turning our life back over to Christ. And every time we take a step back, every time we take our life back from Christ's reign and we say, I want to do it my way, that we immediately confess our sins and give our life back to God. Now, every mother who has went through Lamaze class learns how to breathe. Every father that goes through it, you learn how to breathe. Deliberate breathing. They would probably be much better served to learn this concept of spiritual breathing. The idea of every time we take a step away from God's perfect plan for our life, we confess our sins and give our life back to Him. The idea is that we do it so immediately, it's like breathing. Just continually praying, continually confessing our sins, getting right back into God's good graces. So we know our mothers are not perfect, but they are an example of faith and they are an example of God's forgiveness. My mother's not perfect. And because my mother has a great faith and she still has a great communion with God, I know that God will forgive me. Next of all, we see that a godly mother is a godly parent. Not only is she a living testament of God's love and of God's goodness, but she is also a godly parent. And there's two things I want to focus on. One, she gives instruction. Deuteronomy 6:6-7, Moses says to the children of Israel, these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children. You shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up. Proverbs 31:26-27, continuing that passage that we were reading. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and on her tongue is the law of kindness. She watches over the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. There's a poem that kind of signifies a mother's influence on her children. It says, I took a piece of plastic clay and idly fashioned it one day. And as my fingers pressed it still, it moved and yielded at my will. I came again when days were past. The form I gave it, still it bore. And as my fingers pressed it still, I could change that form no more. I took a piece of living clay and gently formed it day by day, and molded with my power and art a young child's soft and yielding heart. I came again when days were gone. It was a man I looked upon. He still that early impress bore, and I could change it nevermore. Proverbs 22:6 says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. We see that a mother teaches a child. I was reading in different illustrations, and one of them came across talking about a mother's job. A mother's job is not to teach the child something. A mother's job is to teach the child everything. Everything. They go from this helpless little baby, and they leave the mother a young man, one who is able to do many things. And for a godly mother, hopefully he leaves a godly man. Proverbs 6:20 says, my son, keep your father's command and do not forsake the law of your mother. There's a family of pastors. Dr. G. Campbell Morgan had four sons. They were all preachers. Someone once came into the drawing room and all the family was there. They thought they would see what Howard, one of the sons, was made of. So they asked him this question. Howard, who is the greatest preacher in all of your family? Five preachers. The dad, four boys. Howard, who is the greatest preacher in your family? Howard had a great admiration for his father. He looked straight across at him, and without a moment's hesitation, he said, Mom. Maybe in your family, your mother is the greatest preacher as well. Titus 2:1-5 gives us a demonstration of what women, mothers, teach their children, specifically their daughters. Titus 2 says, but as for you, speak the things which are proper for sound doctrine, that older men be sober, reverent, temperate, sound in faith, in love, in patience. The older women likewise, that they be reverent in behavior, not slanderers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they admonish the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, homemakers, good, obedient to their husbands, that the word of God may not be blasphemed. How do they teach those things to their daughters or to other young women, if not by example? For a mother, do as I say, not as I do, it doesn't work. It doesn't work. Kids don't remember what you say. They remember what you did. A godly mother provides discipline. Proverbs 29:15 says, the rod and rebuke give wisdom, but a child left to himself brings shame to his mother. Proverbs 22:15, foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child, and the rod of correction will drive it far from him. You know, today, many people say you should never spank your child. You should never hit a child. It's child abuse. The Bible says, Proverbs 13:24, he who spares his rod hates his son, but he who loves him disciplines him promptly. Mother's not always the most popular person. And many times dad's the disciplinarian. Rightfully so. But dad's not there all the time. We know that growing up. Mom has to give her share of discipline. A mother who loves her child, a godly mother, will discipline her child so that he can grow up to bring glory to her. Because we see, lastly, that there are blessings for a godly mother. It is not all for naught. Proverbs 31:28 says, Proverbs 31:28 says, her child rise up and call her blessed. A 4-year-old and a 6-year-old presented their mom with a houseplant. They had used their own money, and she was thrilled. The older of them said with a sad face, there was a bouquet that we wanted to give you at the flower shop. It was really pretty, but it was too expensive. It had a ribbon on it that said, rest in peace. And we thought it would be just perfect, since you are always asking for a little peace so that you can rest. Truly, a godly mother is blessed by her children. Now, we know that children make their own decisions. Some of them don't choose the ways of their parents. And for that, our heart breaks. But we see many times that what a father puts into their children does grow up into something very beautiful. We also see in Proverbs 31 that her husband praises her. Verse 28 and 29 says, her husband also, and he praises her. And he says, many daughters have done well, but you excel them all. You know, every once in a while I tell my wife this. I think I do anyway. But there was 2 girls I was dating. Not really dating. I just went out and hung out with, basically. But my dad at one point in time sat me down and he said, you know, Michael, both of these girls that you've been hanging around are good Christian women. Choose one of them and marry her. I was like 21 at the time. And immediately, I knew I wanted Isabel. And if I could go back and make that decision, I'd make the same one every time. I can't think of another girl that I ever spent time with that I'd rather have for my wife than Isabel. She, for me, of all the daughters of men, she excels them all. And she works so hard, and I appreciate her so much. Thirdly, we see that God delights in her. Proverbs 31:30 says, charm is deceitful and beauty is passing. But a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her the fruit of her hands and let her own work praise her in the gates. In 1952, Florence was the first woman to attempt to swim 26 miles between the Catalina Island and the California coastline. As she began this historic journey, she was flanked by small boats that watched for sharks and were prepared to help her if she got hurt or grew too tired. Hour after hour, she swam. After about 15 hours, a thick, heavy fog set in. She couldn't see around her. She began to doubt her ability, and she told her mother, who was in one of the boats, that she didn't think she could make it. She swam for 1 more hour before asking to be pulled out. As she sat in the boat, Florence found out that she had stopped swimming just 1 mile away from the California coastline. Florence explained that she quit because she could no longer see the coastline. There was too much fog. She couldn't see her goal. 2 months went later, Florence got back in the water to try her task once more. This time was different. She swam from Catalina Island to the shore of California in a straight path for 26 miles. The same thick fog set in. But Florence made it because she said that while she swam, she kept a mental image of the shoreline in her mind. She didn't lose sight of the shore because she focused on that image of the coast in her mind. And in this way, she reached her goal. For many of us, that image, when we think about the Christian life, we're trying to get to that goal. Paul said, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God. And for many of us, that image that we keep in our mind is of our godly mothers, day in and day out, showing us the way. And we keep that image in our mind so that we don't lose perspective. Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. And a mother does that when she brings a child into the world. She says, follow me as I follow Christ. Not perfectly, but she does. Now you might be here today. Still haven't had lunch yet, so that's good. You might be here today, and you might say, I didn't have a godly mother. But I wanted to be that for my children. You might say, I did have a godly mother, and I am so thankful. That's the group I'm in. I had a great mother. She wasn't perfect, but I am so thankful for her testimony that I saw day in and day out. But if you didn't have that example, you can still be a great example to your children through the grace of God. As we continue to study His Word and as He continues to do the work in us, you can be a great mother, a great father. You know, it's kind of interesting. When I was growing up, when I was 16 years old, I wanted to adopt children. You're like, why did you want to adopt children? You didn't even live on your own at that time. I understand that. But I was so determined to show my dad how much better of a father I could be than he was. I had some ideas that I knew was going to work. And I wanted to prove it. And as I got older, I once told my dad, if I could be half the father that you were to me, my children would be lucky people. And I think mothers are the same way. A godly mother is a great treasure from the Lord. Let's pray. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we are so thankful for our mothers. They work so hard. And Lord, you look at them and you are pleased. Lord, they're not perfect, but they do seek to serve you. And Lord, we pray that you would give them the strength that they need each and every day to be that example, to not lose hope, to not lose courage, to not lose the faith. Today we see a different kind of example in many relationships where the mother and father give up. They give up the faith and they leave each other. And instead of bringing that wonderful example, they become a good example of a bad example. And Lord, there is grace there. There is hope there. There is healing there. But Lord, we are so thankful for the mothers that continue in day in and day out. And they serve you with their whole lives. Lord, we thank you so much this morning for our mothers. And Lord, we pray that you'd be with them each and every day. Pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.